What up, though? What up, though? What's going on, y'all? We are back at it again with another episode of 411 Lions. Of course, we got some football to talk about. Football didn't go the best last night for our Detroit Lions, but still football nonetheless. A very exciting weekend overall of football. A lot of good games. And last night's game was definitely competitive for sure. Very interesting. But before we get to talking about football, of course, I'm King Keith. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at underscore Dr. King's Dream. And I'm going to hand it over to my co-host.
What up, world? It is your girl, CB. You can follow us on Spotify, TikTok, YouTube, Apple Podcasts. You can follow us, 411 Lions. You can also follow me on Instagram, personally, at CB Love That For You. If you care that much, down me, you got to follow me. But hey, we just found it out there. Okay. All right, Detroit. Yesterday, we played primetime Sunday night slot. Detroit fell to 6-4. We are now third in the division. We fell to Philadelphia Eagles 16-9. Before we get into the game, we got a couple stats to read off. Detroit Lions were 3-13 on third down. We are 0-5 on fourth down, one turnover. Time of possession, the Lions had 24 minutes to Philly's 35 minutes. What happened? What happened?
I think the big difference in this game, obviously, is the money downs. It's the third and the fourth downs. The Lions didn't perform. They did not. And they haven't really seemed to have been all season. And I know I brought up the stat about the third and longs, but even just third downs in general, I don't have the stat on the top of my head of what their third down conversion percentage is, but it doesn't seem like it's as sharp as it has been in the past. And the fourth down situation just, I mean, you can't turn the ball over on downs five times in a game. Like it doesn't work. It doesn't work. The Lions' execution on these downs were poor. And not only were they poor, but the Lions weren't in unmanageable situations. A lot of these were 3rd and 4, 3rd and 2, 4th and 1, 4th and 3. These are very, very manageable situations. And they didn't execute. They didn't execute. And there's a lot of reasons to talk about why they didn't execute, whether it's the quarterback, whether it's the receivers, whether it's the offensive line, whether it's the running backs, whether it's the tight ends. I don't think anybody's execution was flawless, or even I'd give a high grade to on those money downs. Obviously, there were some players who had some good games statistically. But you can't win games when you don't execute on 3rd and 4th downs. I know against Washington, you can get up to the point where you don't even have to get to 3rd and 4th down against a team like that. Philly's defense is legit. It's an outstanding defense. It is. Got to give them their credit first and foremost. They played a really good game, and they have a really, really, really good defense. But the Lions just didn't execute. They didn't execute. Goff was rattled. Obviously, the pressure was getting to him a lot tonight. Last night, excuse me, the offensive line not really executing in those money down situations. There were a couple of times where I felt like the running backs could have got a little bit more out of the situations they were in as well. But I think the Lions are definitely, it seems like, going to miss Sam Laporta as far as being that security blanket for Jared Goff. And Jared Goff and St. Brown are just not on the same page, which is shocking because this feels like the first time that they've been like this. But he dropped a couple passes or dropped maybe one or two passes. But he also just was not getting open. Like, separation was not high for St. Brown last night. And again, the Eagles have fantastic DBs. Sometimes you just got to chalk it up to that. But yeah, there's a lot of issues. And I know everybody was excited about Dan Campbell taking over the play calling, but this offense is still a work in progress.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to have to piggyback off of that. Yeah, the Amon-Ra St. Brown and the Jared Goff connection, it wasn't there, and it seemed like they were trying to force it there last night when we could have went with other options. Obviously, Jahmyr Gibbs had over 100 receiving yards. Congratulations to him. I believe this is his first career game where he had over 100 receiving yards. J-Mo had a touchdown. I was a little disappointed that we attempted what was it, 37 pass attempts, and the pass attempts just weren't there. We did not, in my opinion, spread the ball as I would have liked. Mm-hmm. I liked a lot of routes that J-Mo ran, those crossing routes that could get defenses in trouble. I definitely felt that the ball was not spread offensively around as much as I would have liked it. Obviously, the offensive line was not good. I know we're dealing with injuries. I know we had the Ragnow retirement. And I think ever since the retirement, Frank Ragnow's retirement, I kind of think we are getting exposed offensive line wise. I don't even know if I could really say that this offensive line is elite right now against good defensive backs. Yeah, I mean, Philadelphia had 5 bat downs, but their defensive line, their average is like 6'9". I mean, they are really big. They are really tall. I believe one stat last year was Philadelphia's defensive line is like 1,700 pounds combined. I mean, they are some big guys. And all night, Jared Goff was flustered. He had that glove on, which some people didn't like. They're like, take the glove off. I don't know if that would have made a big difference or not. Dan Campbell's clock management. We went into halftime with all 3 of our timeouts, I noticed, on the clock. Things that make you go, Obviously, with one of the 4th downs that we didn't compute, yeah, that fake punt, I was not happy about that one. That was the one that really pissed me off. We were 0-5 on fourth down, excuse me, but 3 of those, we were kind of in that red zone field goal range. And I know it was windy, but Bates did make one from 53 yards. So I think we could have tried. I think we could have tried field goals on some of those downs. I mean, the offense out of sync, forced it too much to St. Brown. I know there were a couple drops there, but a lot of the times he was throwing the ball at the receiver's feet. It was so low. I didn't like that, but obviously he was getting pressure at the front, and we know Jared Goff not going to run away from everything. You know, obviously he's not a running quarterback, but he only completed, 38% of his passes last night. The lowest of his career, actually. He's usually, this season, he's been like 71%. So, yeah, to see that, I didn't like it. I think that, obviously, we could have got more people the ball. I think we should have ran the ball more. It wasn't that I didn't like the play calls, but I didn't like the decisions. I think we could have ran a little more. I like how we used the screens with Jared Goff and Monty just to try to open up that offense because, I mean, Philadelphia, and then we got to give credit, Philadelphia was all over us. They were. The defensive line kicked down the door. I mean, the corners, Quanyon Mitchell, what is he, like the 2nd best corner in the league, in my opinion, behind Sertan.
Shout out to Toledo Rockets, by the way, just throwing it out there.
Don't do that. But yeah, he's good. He's talented. I mean, those corners were talented. They were all over St. Brown. St. Brown didn't really get any separation. I mean, the Eagles, they suffocated us. And to be the Super Bowl champs, you cannot put up 9 points, Detroit. Did y'all really think 9 points was really going to beat the Eagles? I mean, they held Green Bay to, 7? They held us to 9. That's not good enough. Now, the defense did a great job, and we'll talk about the defense, but to hold Detroit to 9 points, that's enough to win. That's enough to win.
Yeah. I don't like to question, and people that know me know this, I don't like to question the decision-making. Necessarily the coaches, because I think that hindsight is 20/20. I think that it's easy to look back and be like, oh, well, if we would have kicked this or we would have done that, then we would have won. But like at that point in the game, I think that a lot of decisions honestly did make a lot of sense. I wouldn't have sent Jake Bates out there for any more field goals than they sent him out there for. Watching him in warmups and then watching him during that extra point that he missed when they pushed us back because of the penalty on J-Mo, which, again, silly penalty. I don't think that should have been a penalty, but that's neither here nor there. He missed that kick pretty bad. Like, it was pretty bad. I don't think I would have trusted him inside outside of 40 yards. I know the 54-yarder he made, but they kind of had to kick it in that situation to keep it or to get it back to being a one-score game. I think they probably debated on going for that, honestly, but 4th and 17, the odds are low. But even the play calling, I don't have an issue with the play calling necessarily. I think my issue is more with the execution. I know that it's easy to look back and say that they should have ran the ball a lot more, but I think that those short passes to Jahmyr Gibbs and even David Montgomery caught a couple, I think they function as essentially extended run plays. And I think they obviously worked very well considering Jahmyr Gibbs averaged like 20 yards a catch last night. So I don't have an issue with necessarily the play calling or the decision making. I think the execution is just kind of not there right now. And I think there are questions about how this team plays in cold weather games and stuff like that. They've done good in the past, but then they've also struggled in other situations. I don't know. I just am looking forward to seeing them respond as an offense because these good defenses are giving the Lions trouble. I mean, Green Bay gave them trouble. Kansas City gave them trouble. Philly now gave them trouble. And these are teams with really good defensive lines that can generate pressure. And like you said, the offensive line is – they're still good players on the offensive line. They do perform well in a lot of circumstances. But when they face a defensive line that is dominant, when they face a team that blitzes a lot, they struggled against Minnesota as well. And I saw Philly do this a lot as well, where they sent the linebackers in on blitzes. And it wasn't like the Lions weren't picking it up. They just weren't picking it up enough. And you saw Goff get really jittery at certain times where he's almost expecting to get hit because he did get hit a lot last night. And I think the Lions want to figure that out because teams are going to start blitzing the Lions a lot more. And to be fair, Jared Goff in his first 2 years here in Detroit has been good against the blitz, but these last two losses now against Minnesota, now against Philadelphia, when teams dial up that blitz, it has been effective. So
even Green Bay.
Yeah, and Green Bay did dial up blitzes, but they also didn't even have to blitz because obviously they have Micah Parsons. Like, teams are starting to realize pressure can be got on the Lions, and Jared Goff, as great as he has been throughout his career, that is the one thing about Jared Goff is that if you get pressure on him, it can be up and down. Now, again, the stats do back up him being pretty good in Detroit versus the blitz and against pressure, but that doesn't erase all those data points from his time with the Rams either. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing them respond. I really am. I think that they played fine. They moved the ball. But again, the execution when it comes to those big downs, when teams blitz you, when they play tight man, when they do all these different things, throw these good looks at you, you know, they just got to execute better. It's not what we're used to seeing from a Dan Campbell coach team.
Yeah, and I would say that Philly did run a lot of blitzes, but a lot of times Philly was only rushing three, and they got five bat downs that, and then one turned into an interception, obviously. But
the bat downs are rough. The bat downs are rough because it's just like
they're so big.
Yeah, and you can do something about it, I guess, but like it's kind of demoralizing when a guy bats it down because sometimes you are making the right read, you're making the right throw, and it just gets knocked down or it turns to an interception.
Yeah, and Philly's pretty good at that. But yeah, even besides the like the trenches, those corners Philly got, they did a good job. They did a good job. They didn't give up many big plays. They didn't give up many big plays.
They did.
They gave up the J-Mo touchdown. They did.
Yeah, and I just, you know, J-Mo did get targets last night, and he wasn't perfect, but I do feel like targeting him a little bit more. I think Tesla did get a couple targets, but the throws weren't good throws. They just weren't really catchable balls necessarily. I think that they got to be a little bit more willing to hit those kind of guys because that's the thing with the Philly defense is you if you can stretch them out a little bit, maybe you can succeed. Like that whole time during the game, I'm like, the Lions got to hit big plays. You're not going to go down the field play by play against this Eagles team and get far. Eventually, they're going to stop you. But if you can get a big play, get a 30-yard play, get a 40-yard play that puts you in a good position, that's when you start to get in field goal range, start to get some momentum rolling. But trying to go down 5, 6, 7, 8 yards at a time against this Philly defense, it's just not working. It's not working. Like, you run 14 plays, they're going to make sure that like 7 or 8 of them go negative or for no yards. So you got to hit on the ones that you do run, that you do succeed on. And they did it at certain times, but not enough. You know, the elements were a factor last night, obviously, with the field goal kicking, but it was just a perfect storm. It was a perfect storm. But there was another side of the ball to talk about. What did you see from the defensive side?
Oh, man, I saw the a mixture of, obviously, Amik Robinson did really well. Some Legion of Whom guys. Rocky Sand did a really good job trying to contain Devontae Smith and was on A.J. Brown most of the night. Oh, man, the defense, they did not. I expected maybe they'll give up a couple big plays against maybe an A.J. Brown or a Devontae Smith. But Devontae Smith didn't. He didn't really even have no catches. I mean, they were smothering. They were smothering Philly. Like, Philly, your offense, it needs work, as you know.
Yeah. Coming into the game, that's why I said that I like the way the Lions matched up against Philadelphia. And clearly they matched up well on the defense side of the ball. The offense side of the ball dropped the ball, literally. But the defensive side of the ball does match up really well against this Philadelphia team, playing a man coverage, forcing Jalen Hurts to make plays. And he was able to run a little bit, but the Lions really did kind of have them inhale a little bit. Like, they had them locked up. Like, they were in very tough situations. The run defense was mostly good. There's a thing with Aiden Hutchinson getting ran at a little bit that I didn't like to see on a couple plays last night. But other than that, the run defense was stout. Tyreek Williams played a really good game. Aleem McNeil played a really good game. Roy Lopez continues to make plays. He was excellent last week and made some big plays this week. So a lot of good stuff from the defense. I told you, though, the matchup I wanted to see was the Lions linebackers against Saquon Barkley in the pass game, and they held up.
They did good.
They held up. Anzalone and Jack Campbell held up. And Saquon did have Jack Campbell beat on that one play that Hurts missed, but other than that, they held up really well against the tight ends and running backs. Anzalone and Jack Campbell played a really good game. The D-line played pretty good. The secondary, I mean, what can you say? They continue to get the job done, and they hopefully will be getting some guys back next week as well. So, the defense was quite impressive, and that's why I need Lions fans to – obviously, the Lions are in a perfect position right now. They technically are third in the division, but they still kind of control their destiny because they play the Packers and they play the Bears still. I have seen, I think, more good than bad from this team. They are 6-4 with a very, very difficult first 10 games. This has been a tough schedule, and they've made it through it with still being in a decent position. The Bears lead the division, but the Lions beat the Bears by 42 points earlier this season. So, like, while we may not beat the Bears by that much this next time, I think we feel pretty confident about being able to play Chicago. The Green Bay matchup is going to be really interesting because the Lions hopefully will respond well to how they played in the beginning. But the Lions are in an okay position, I feel like. The fact that the defense is holding up, even with all these injuries, the offense is just too talented, I think, to not get it together. I don't think that they're going to continue to struggle the way that they've struggled against good teams. Maybe they will, but I think they're too good to not figure it out. And they do look good against the okay and bad teams. So I'm hoping that they can figure something out. But I do still feel pretty good about the Lions.
That was my next thing. Okay, so Lions are 6-4. We are behind Green Bay, Chicago. Yeah, we're behind Green Bay and Chicago. Do you still feel good about your pick for the Lions to win the division?
Yes, I do. I do still feel good about it. Like I mentioned, the schedule that they played has been extremely tough, and the games that they've lost have not been like bad losses. The Minnesota loss was a little bit questionable for sure, but losing to Kansas City, losing to Philly, like, the two teams that were in the Super Bowl last year, and you lost to them both in fairly tight games. I still feel good about the Lions. I think even losing to Green Bay is a good team. Like, they have a really good defense. I still feel good about this team as far as moving forward. Obviously, the offense has got to figure it out at the end of the day. That's where this team's ceiling is going to lie, is if the offense can consistently be a 30-point-per-game offense and not just an occasional 30-point-per-game offense.
That's why I'm like, this performance, Detroit Lions, we got to put on something better than this.
Nine points. It's the good defenses. It's the good defenses that they're struggling against. And again, I do feel good about it. They're literally one game back in the division with, I want to say, 6 or 7 games to go in the season. 7 games to go, I think, in the season. 7. Yeah, like, I think they put themselves in a good position to still get back into things. They just flat out got to win the games. They got to execute. And I'm not saying they got to win all 7 of their last games, but
we better win at least 4 or 7.
Yeah, 4 at minimum, but 5 is what it looks like it may take. And that's not insurmountable. The Lions have won 5 out of 7 games during stretches plenty of times over these past couple of seasons. So they can do it. I don't feel bad at all about this team, but I still see them as the – I would pick them to win the division from this point out. I would.
I'm still holding on to my pick. I mean, I know a lot of people, every time the Lions lose now within the last 3 years, everybody wants to panic and everybody wants to cry. Now, I will say the offense is starting to ring my bell just a little bit. We got to pick it up. We got to spread that ball around. And even if we move the ball up the field, which, okay, yesterday we may have done, but 0-5 on fourth down, 3-13 on third down against the Super Bowl champ. Like, come on, Detroit. This is not going to win it. This is not going to win it. And 3 out of the 5 times we were in a field goal range, I'm not saying that 3 times we should have attempted the field goal, but I think 2 we could have attempted.
The one that was close to the goal line, I would have kicked that time. I'm not going to lie. As a person that is very anti-kick, when it was like 4th and goal at like the 3 or 4, I would have kicked. Yes. I would have kicked that. I'm not going to lie. They needed the points there, I felt like.
And Goff missed, Brock Wright for the touchdown?
Yeah, and I'm seeing a lot of people complain about that, but like I think the pressure got to him before Brock Wright flashed open. I do.
Clearly.
Yeah, I don't, people are like, clearly. Oh my God, he's so open, but like he was open after the fact. I think if Goff was sitting there with a clean pocket, he would have hit him, but that wasn't the game last night. He wasn't sitting there with a clean pocket.
Yeah, and then teams, they definitely, I just worry that teams can definitely pull our card and have our number when they know that if you got a talented enough defensive line, linebackers, all that, you can blitz. As long as you get Jared Goff off center early, hit him, pressure him, you could pretty much have this game. And that is my concern going forward. So hopefully we can do good against Green Bay. I mean, the Giants now, obviously, any given Sunday, we should be able to bounce back and respond, and I'm sure we're going to have a lot of electric plays and beautifulness. But with 7 games left and playoffs looming, if the playoffs were to start today, technically the Lions will be on the outside looking in. But it is the first 10 games, and the first 10 games were tough. We came out 6-4. A lot of the worst is behind us. I get it, but we still got Green Bay, and I still think we need to win our 2nd game against Green Bay. I don't think we can head into the playoffs losing to Philly and losing to Green Bay twice, and then I'm expecting the Lions to come out of the NFC. I don't know. So we got to clean up that offense.
They got to respond against Green Bay for sure. Whatever the performance has to be, it got to be strong. And they got to beat Chicago again, too, to be honest. I mean, Chicago, for some reason, somehow, some way, is leading the division. So
5 games, 4th quarter comebacks for Chicago Bears. 5 games.
Yep, which is why I guess you got to beat them 52-10 like how the Lions did to knock them off. But, yeah, it's interesting. But I don't want us to leave also without addressing the elephant in the room here.
Go ahead.
what the hell was going on with that pass interference call at the end of the game?
Called against Rakusen on AJ Brown, which I don't see what they were seeing, but I will say I will say this. I didn't like the call, and obviously I don't think it was the right call. I don't really think it was the deciding factor in the game. That's why I'm not going to be too angry about it. Now, I don't like it, but it's just like the J-Mo touchdown celebration. I don't like it, but am I going to pile on it? The game wasn't decided by one point, and I don't think this game was decided by one call. But if anything, I felt like it was an offensive pass interference. But me, it just looked like a little bit of hand fighting, which is fine.
Yeah, I understand the idea of, like, well, were the Lions even going to win the game even if they did get the ball back? Probably not. But at the same time, this is an offense that averages 30 points per game during a regular season. This is one of the best offenses in the NFL. And for them to not get a shot on a call that was pretty clearly bad, like, it'd be different if it was, like, there are some people who think it is and some people who think it isn't. You heard what Chris Collinsworth said after seeing a replay. He said, oh, come on. Come on. Nobody thought that was pass interference except for the referee that threw that flag. I don't understand. In a primetime game, and you know that if this is the call, the game's over, how can you be comfortable making that call? Like, I don't know. It just is beyond me. Again, I feel you on that. I don't think that this wasn't the difference maker of the game. Like, it's not fair to say, oh, well, the Lions would have won if they, you know, that call didn't happen. Like, the chances were still pretty low. Yeah, the chances were still pretty low. I put them at maybe like 15-20% at best for the Lions to go down the field and score a touchdown in that circumstance. But I don't understand how that can happen. I don't understand how you can make that call. I don't know. I just feel like we can't go without talking about that, because that was very strange. Very, very strange way to end the game. Because then at that point, the game's over and everybody's just like, so that's it? This very competitive, entertaining game between two excellent teams ends like that? Like that?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't like it.
I know the people in the NFL offices were just like, ugh. Like, you blew it. You blew it. Because it could have been a very... very much a better ending to that game. Like, could have been a very interesting ending to that game. I'm sure the Lions, I don't think they would have scored, but they could have went down the field and at least made it interesting. You got the entertainment, you got the drama. Even just speaking from the NFL standpoint, this is what you want, right? Like, you want the best defense in the league going up against the best offense in the league with a chance to win the game with their backs against the wall on the road, like, hostile environment. And you took all that away on a penalty that was not a penalty.
I mean, I hear you. I agree. It wasn't a penalty. It's a bad look. It was, but I feel based on the job the Lions did yesterday and what the Lions put on tape, Philly had our number. Philly had our number. Now, we didn't execute a lot of things offensively, but Philly defensively, they had our number. I mean, they snuffed out the fake punt that we tried to do. They knew it was coming, which I don't understand why Dan Campbell didn't reverse the call, because it was a guy waving safe. Philly defense was waving safe. Like, let the defense stay on the field, because Detroit is not punting the ball. It's a fake. And Philly knew it. They smelled out every fourth down call. So 3-13 on third downs. I mean, Philly had our number. They had our number, and I don't think that if we got the ball back, unfortunately, I think the most we would have went for was a field goal. I think Philly had our number last night.
Yeah, and that's not what I'm arguing.
But I didn't like the ending either.
Yeah, Jared Goff could have went out there and threw a pick six on the first play when they got the ball back. That doesn't negate the fact that that was not an acceptable way for the game to end. Like, that was not okay. That was not okay.
Yeah, but even the commentator, Chris Colin, we're running his mouth. What's not okay? Well, he was better than the other team they had in Washington. Those two. But yeah, he was a little annoying, because you could tell the commentators were kind of cheering Philly just a little bit. I'm not trying to be the victim here,
Well, but, I won't say that with Mike Tirico, because Mike Tirico is from Michigan, so he's not cheering for anybody, but if he's cheering for anybody, he's cheering for the Lions. But Collinsworth, yeah, Collinsworth liked the star team.
Collinsworth had a clear bias. I don't know what it was.
I didn't see that last night, but he's going to like the star team for sure. So I'm not surprised that he would lean Philly. But Tirico's a Michigan guy, so.
I couldn't tell.
I guess it balances it out. I don't know. Tirico, you got to listen to the details, because he throw a lot of stuff out there where it's like, interesting. You know that. But yeah, like I said, I felt like that was a strange way to end the game. But, you know, like you said, on to next week. You know, the Lions got a chance to prove themselves, but they're gonna be playing against another really good defensive line. So hopefully they can hold up.
Okay, speaking of next week, who we got? We playing New York at Ford Field. New York Giants. How do we feel?
I'm gonna say the same thing I always say. It's Monday, so anything could go any kind of way. But I do want to see what the injury report looks like. I want to see if they bring certain guys back or if they hold off on bringing some guys back until the Thursday game against Green Bay, because obviously that just has a different level of importance. But also, at this point in the season, every game is important because, like you said, the Lions are technically on the outside looking in. They got a good shot to win the division still, but they are on the outside looking in. So every game kind of matters now. The Giants will probably be starting Jameis Winston. I mean, Jackson Dart could be back, but they might be starting Jameis Winston. They don't bring a lot as far as the offensive side of the ball. But Jameis Winston is going to air it out. So, I mean, if we could lose to J.J. McCarthy, who, as much as I love J.J., he looks awful right now. If he could beat us, any given Sunday is always a factor. But if I had to make a pick right now, it's the Lions, and probably by double digits.
Yeah, I definitely favor the Lions. Lions definitely need to make up for this game. Hell, even losing to the Vikings, a game in the division, dropping another game in the division. I was getting the name wrong. Yeah, I mean, he'll air it out like you said, but most of the time he'll air it out to the other team too. So
if he's playing, he played pretty good against Green Bay, not gonna lie. He played pretty good.
He did, but they still lost. He's not anybody I'm scared of.
They didn't really lose because of him though.
They didn't.
Just throwing it out there.
The team did lose. Yeah, I saw some of the game. Unfortunately, Green Bay won, but Jameis, I'm not that nervous about. But again, the Lions can't fumble this. They can't fumble this one. Obviously, next week we'll be talking about the bigger game, the Thanksgiving game, Green Bay. So we'll do a little more matchups with that. But yeah, I expect us to bounce back to the Giants. I don't expect a loss. I kind of expected us to win against Philly, you know, but people can call me DeLulu if they want to, but I thought we were going to win the Philly game. But Giants, I would say by 27-10, Detroit.
27-10?
Yes, Detroit Lions win.
Okay. That's not a bad score prediction. Yeah. I won't give a score prediction, but I do think the Lions will win. I don't think it'll be close by the end of the game. Don't know how the beginning of the game will go, but by the end of the game, I think it won't be close.
Yeah, because I don't even know, like you said, if Jackson Dart will be starting, or is he...
Yeah, I mean, I would rather face Jackson Dart than Jameis Winston, not going to lie.
Really?
Yeah, I think Jackson Dart is... I mean, Jameis Winston is prone to making mistakes, but... I think he could take advantage of the Lions man coverage because he's just going to throw a bunch of 50-50 balls. Dart seems like a guy that is going to misread stuff like a lot. And he'll turn the ball over. He's trying to run it a lot. The Lions will probably force a couple fumbles against him. I'd rather face the rookie than Jameis Winston. Not going to lie. Jameis Winston would probably throw go balls, 50-50 balls up all day against the Lions and just hope that he get a pass interference penalty or something. So, either way,
I expect us winning that with either. Yeah, I expect them winning it with either quarterback.
I do too. I do too.
Hopefully, because we need, because it depends on who's Green Bay and Chicago playing, or one of them. Does one of them hopefully have a bye week?
I honestly have no idea who they're playing, but
we need to stay tight in this race. But I mean, everybody pretty much in the division, it's pretty tight. This is the best division I feel in football. But I mean, obviously, I'm a Detroit Lions fan, but I feel that this is the best division in football. It's tight. It's still anybody's division. I know some Lions fans want to panic.
I ain't gonna lie to you. This is not the best division in football.
Who the best division in football? To me, it is.
It is definitely the NFC West, and if it's not the NFC West, it's the AFC West. Rams are 8-2. Seahawks are 7-3, and I think the 49ers are also 7-3. And the Chiefs are in third place right now, which is like that's how good that division is.
So. But I'm not surprised, because remember, if we go back to one of our first episodes this season, I predicted that the Broncos were going to win the division. So that one's not really that surprising to me. The Chiefs.
I didn't say it was surprising. I'm saying it's a better division than ours is.
No, I don't think so.
For sure. I think the NFC West for sure is the best division in football though right now. I mean, the Rams obviously look great. The Seahawks defense looks really good. Sam Darnold's still seeing ghosts apparently. But and the 49ers also are kind of back, I guess. So, yeah, that NFC West.
I expected a little bounce back from the 49ers. I expect a little bounce
back. Even the Cardinals aren't terrible.
Yeah, because they put in Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, and he set the record for completions in a game yesterday, which is just crazy.
And they still lost.
Yeah, by a lot. Yeah.
Right, I ain't really worried about the Cardinals. But I will say with the Seahawks, I mean, with Sam Darnold, yes, he's good. I'm not saying that he ain't. He'll get had in the playoffs. Just wait. They'll pull his car in the playoffs.
He don't got that it factor to step up in them big games. But the Seahawks defense is really, really, really good. And, of course, they're coached by another University of Michigan coach. Shout out to Mike McDonald. But, that defense is legit. But we'll see. I mean, I don't care about none of that at the end of the day. The Lions got to figure out their offense. They figure out their offense, they can come out of this conference still. But that's a if right now. It's figuring out that offense.
Yeah, they just got to figure out the offense. Like I said, in the NFC North, just stay tuned because Detroit is going to come marching back. We ain't that far behind. I know people want to panic, but this, mark my words, this is going to come down to, I would say, about the last game or two. It's coming down. I think I could see a three-way, maybe we'll end it with the same records, around the same records. I've seen some times, I could see three teams coming to the playoffs, NFC North again. I can see three teams coming out to the playoffs.
It's definitely going to be interesting, but speaking of coming back, shout out my boys real quick. I had to give my boys some love. Shout out to Detroit Pistons, by the way.
Detroit Pistons.
11-2. We want to talk about teams that are doing good in the city. 11-2, number one in the Eastern Conference. They back. Though everybody is hurt on their team as well. Don't know what's going on with that. But they play tonight. So definitely show y'all Pistons some love as well. But, of course, we are a Lions podcast. So we'll go ahead and wrap it up with some, like I said, some cross sports love, some interest sports love.
You had to walk all the way back there and get that chain. That's what you're doing.
I did. Show off my boys.
Shout out to the Pistons. We always love the Pistons. That playoff game, man, sensational.
Facts.
Well, we will be back next week to talk the win against the Giants, Lions. I'm not coming out here and reporting another loss. I'm coming on here and I'm reporting the win. So we will be back, probably Tuesday morning?
Monday, Tuesday. Morning. Yeah.
We will be back unless something big and crazy happens. But for now, I'm Sierra. That is King Keith. You can follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, YouTube, Amazon Music, TikTok, 411 Lions. Check us out. Bye-bye, Detroit. Peace.